Bava Basra, Perek Hey, Mishnah Tess, 5:9. And the Mishnah here discusses another case that involves the sale of oil, but really it's something kind of different from the rest of the Perek, and the truth is that this Mishnah is rather difficult to get someone's head around, and therefore, let me say the whole outside first, the whole setup, and then once we've got a head around that, then we'll go back to the words inside. The setup of the Mishnah, the basic setup, is that a child shows up at the shopkeeper. He has a container for oil in his hand. He says, "My father, you know, wants this container of oil, and the oil, you know, he wants, you know, 10 shekels of oil, and the kid has like a 20 in hand." So he tells that to the shopkeeper. Now, on the face of it, the primary machlokas of the Mishnah is the shopkeeper expected to give the oil into the container and send the kid back with a jug of oil? Because as a child, he's not really reliable as a shaliach to deliver it. He's not a good delivery boy because he's just a child. And is the father, by sending the child, sort of saying, yeah, I take the responsibility, or not? Okay, that seems to be the basic discussion. Now, if the father were to be explicit in his desires, he sent a note, or he phoned the shopkeeper up, or he told him on Shabbos, or they do it all this time, whatever the story is, this mission wouldn't get off the ground, really. In other words, at that point, of course, the child is meant to be the authorized delivery boy, and of course, the shopkeeper should give him the oil, and what it goes wrong next, should anything go wrong, it will be the responsibility of the father. But in our mission, the case is that the shopkeeper doesn't have such a pre-authorization. He gives the jug filled with oil back to the kid, and the kid, of course, on the way home, drops it and smashes the jug and loses the oil, etc. He also happened to lose the change that he was given. So now the question is the shopkeeper on the hook? And the basic point would be, if the shopkeeper was within his rights to understand that the father was authorizing that the boy should be the delivery guy and bring the oil back, the shopkeeper would be off the hook. And if the shopkeeper should be expected to understand you can't give a little boy, I guess this is a pre-bar mitzvah boy, a jug of oil to deliver, he's not responsible as a delivery boy, so then the shopkeeper shouldn't have sent it with him. And if he did, then he's responsible. Okay, now, the Mishnah also discusses the fact that the shopkeeper is going to be responsible for the broken jug as well. Now, this is very strange, because if the father sent the child with the empty jug in hand, so even if we say, good, a child is not responsible, so then it would be essentially an aveda midas. It's basically like the father has said, you know, knowing full well that he's never going to see a jug again, probably, he has said goodbye to a jug and gave it to the kid. So if that's the case, why in the world should the shopkeeper be responsible if the kid on the way home smashes the jug? Even let's say he's responsible for the, you know, the 20 shekels, the pundin, whatever it is worth of that he was supposed of oil and money, because that he shouldn't have given to the kid, let's say. But the jug is a different story. Why should he be responsible for the jug? So then the Gemara ends up saying there's a separate element going on over here, which is like a whole new different machlokas. Which is, although it doesn't say explicit in the Mishnah, the case is that the kid showed up, he had the jug in hand, gave it to the shopkeeper asking for the oil and, you know, giving him like the money for, you know, twice the money required, so you need to get change as well. And the shopkeeper, before filling the jug for the child, makes use of it for himself. And he says, oh great, I have this, you know, this gallon container, I need to measure a gallon for somebody else here in the shop, and I don't have a gallon measure, so I'll just use this jug that the kid brought in. So that's called he's a shoel shlomi das. He's borrowing without the knowledge and authorization of the owner of this object. The father never gave the shopkeeper the jug to use for his own purposes. So once a person is a shoel shlomi das, he's borrowing without permission. So what's his status? So the Tana Kama is going to say his status is like a gazlan. If you borrow something without permission, you're tantamount to being a gazlan, a thief, and your requirement is you're totally responsible now to return the stolen object, v'heshev as a gazel asher gazel, what you stole, you have to return back to the rightful owner. And returning the quote-unquote stolen jug to the child doesn't constitute returning the jug, because the child's not the owner, the child's just the kid. So the shopkeeper, who's become essentially a gazlan, like a thief, now has a responsibility to return the jug to the owner himself, and until he does that, he is bears full responsibility for the jug. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, who's arguing with the Tana Kama, says, listen, a shoel shlomi das, if you're borrowing without permission, that's also not allowed, that's bad. But you're not really a gazlan, you're just a shoel shlomi das. It's a different thing altogether. And when someone is shoel, when he borrows something, even with permission, so of course he bears full responsibility, meaning if the shopkeeper borrowed with permission the jug and then he broke it, of course he's responsible, even if it's an onus, circumstances beyond his control. We learned that still is responsibility because the shoel is responsible for everything. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, since the shoel shlamidas is not a gazlan, he's just a shoel, so the borrower stops being a shoel and stops bearing that responsibility when he returns the borrowed object to where he took, from where he took it. Then he stops being a shoel. So his responsibility for owns and circumstances beyond his control, are no longer there. So, in this scenario, which is how the Gemara understands is our Mishnah, where the shopkeeper made illegal use of this jug that was brought to him by the child, so according to Tana Kama, he becomes a gazlan, and until he returns it to the original owner, he's responsible for onsen, and the kid smashing it on the way home is an onus, so therefore, too bad, he was a gazlan, he stole it, he's responsible, so therefore he's responsible for the jug. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he is just a shoel has to give it back to the place where he took it from. He took it from the child, he gave the child back the jug. So now he stops being responsible, and the jug being smashed would not be the responsibility anymore of the shopkeeper. Okay, those are the basic moving parts of the Mishnah. Let's see it inside now, and then I'll kind of repeat myself to some degree, but here we go inside. It says, Hashaleach es beno etzel chenvani ufundion biyado. A person sends his child to the shopkeeper, and in his hand is not just the jug to get the oil, but also a pundian. A pundian is it's worth 2 isarim, okay? It's like, like $2 bill, 20 shekel coin or something, 20 shekel bill. And biyado, and that's what the child has, and the instructions are to get one jug, to fill the jug with oil, and the one jug of oil would cost half the amount, would cost an isar, half of the pundian. And what happens is, says the Mishnah, umadad lo beisar, shemen, and the shopkeeper measures out an isar, half the pundian amount of oil, venasno es haisar, and he gives the other isars change, the other, it was $2, so he gave $1 back change, whatever it is, give change back to the child. And again, the Gemara understands when they get done with it that before he gave the child the jug, he made use of the jug himself, so he became a shoel shlo midas, and according to Tanakama, he's also a gazlan. And therefore, on the way home, the child shavar es atzluchis, he smashes the jug, ve'ibed es ha'isar, he loses the money, the change. Chenvani chayev. So the chenvani is chayev for everything. He's chayev to replace the jug, the oil, and the money. So we can kind of combine those things into just two groups, because the jug is something that came from before, and the jug, we just said, is he was responsible only because he became a gazlan by using it without permission. As far as the oil and coin goes, so that's a little different. That really is the pundian worth. That what happened was that he was given a pundian from the father through the child. Now, the Tanakhama's position is, and really this is how we pass on the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, anyways, I'm not sure halacha l'maisa l'maisa, but the Shulchan Aruch says that the shopkeeper is expected to understand that you don't give a child who's not a reliable delivery boy the jug full of oil. The understanding of the shopkeeper should have been, says the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this basic point, and probably you do too, but the shopkeeper was supposed to understand, oh, I'm going to set aside a jug of oil, and the father or responsible, adult delivery will come to collect the jug and collect the change. So, by giving the jug back full of oil to the child, and the change to the child, that was totally reckless behavior. As far as the jug, we said he's only responsible for the jug because if he was a ganav along the way, he was a gazlan, because he shol shlamidas. As far as the money goes, so here's the idea. The pundion, the $2 bill, the 20 shekel bill that was given to the child, okay, that was also like an aveda midas, like the father probably kissed it goodbye and said he could never expect to get it again. But meanwhile, the shopkeeper now has the pundion coin that belonged to the father. He has to give it back to him. That's like a hashavas aveda. He has this, even if he said goodbye to it, but the shopkeeper has something that belongs to the father. Giving it to a child is reckless. And so he's on the hook. The shopkeeper's on the hook really to give back the pundion or the economic equivalent, which is the oil and the half pundion, the isar left, because he took the father's money. He has to give it back to him. He's never been entrusted with this lost object, essentially. Okay, so that's why it's high for those two components, the pundian worth of value, as well as the smashed jug. Now, Rabbi Yehuda pulls. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not on the hook for the jug, shal menas kein shlucho, because that's exactly the reason why the shopkeeper should understand that the reason why the child showed up with the money in the jug is because he was expected to be delivery boy, and therefore that's implicit authorization. And therefore, the shopkeeper is on the hook for either the money, meaning the change in the oil, nor the jug, for two different reasons. Again, the money and the oil he's not responsible for because he gave it to the child with implicit understanding from the fact the child showed up that the father wanted him to do. And he's not responsible for the jug, even though he misappropriated the jug by being a shol shlamidas, borrowing without permission, because he gave it back to the kid. So he stopped being a shol, he stopped being responsible. Says the Mishnah finally, umodim chachamim, the Tanakama agree to Rabbi Yehuda, b'zman shatzuchas biyad etinokos umadan hechenvan lesocha, hechenvani patar. If, not translating literally here, but what this is saying is, Tanakama agrees, that in the event that the shopkeeper never made personal use of the jug, he never therefore became a gazlan, so therefore he bears no responsibility. So even they would agree that if the kid goes back with a jug full of oil and smashes the jug and loses the money, at least the jug, the container, the chenvani, the shopkeeper, is not be responsible for as far as the lost pundin worth of oil and money. He would still be responsible for, according to Tanakama, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha follows Tanakama, the Chachamim.